one of the most sacred objects in Judaism is made of skin from a bull's neck. It's called tefillin, and it's an ancient custom to connect hands, hearts, and minds with God. Each black box contains scrolls that must be written by hand.
It's done the same way it was done 3,300 years ago.
Throughout history, Jews have been persecuted, forcing them to sometimes wear tefillin in secret. But demand has soared since the latest war in Israel and Gaza that erupted on October 7th. Mostly from less religious Jews.
I think it's important for me to be here.
Including Israeli soldiers headed into battle. Now, traditional workshops can't make tefillin fast enough. So what does it say inside these little boxes? And why are so many people trying to get their hands on them? We went to Israeli workshops to find out how this ritual is still standing. The scrolls inside tefillin are made from parchment, just as they were thousands of years ago. The fur is scraped off an animal hide and then stretched out to dry. For a Jewish ritual object, the hide must come from a cow, sheep, or other animal considered kosher to eat.
Every piece of parchment comes out different. Some is thicker, some is thinner, some is more hairy, some is more shiny.
Rabbi Chaim Kaplan runs Otzar Hastam, a workshop in Safed in northern Israel that writes tefillin and Torah scrolls. Scribes like Asaf Levi start by sanding the parchment and then sprinkling it with chalk. Asaf adds a layer of this special adhesive liquid called Mei HaKlaf.
אין לו אפקט של דבק כמו שאנחנו מכירים, זה לא דביק. אבל הוא עושה אפקט של הדבקה בעצם של הגיר והפודרה.
These parchments have been pre-etched with straight horizontal lines. Torah scrolls, which contain the entire Hebrew Bible, have 42 lines of text on each page. The smaller scrolls inside tefillin have just 4 or 7 lines. A humidifier runs all day to help the ink set on the parchment. It's always quiet here. Scribes, or sofrim in Hebrew, must maintain a state of intense focus. Most of them use a feather quill, sometimes with a tip made from steel or gold. In the past, they used reed pens. Other scribes prefer a newer ceramic pen that never needs sharpening.
יש לו את היתרון שהוא מאוד יציב והוא לא נשחק כמו הנוצה. אפשר לכתוב את הספר תורה שלם אפילו בלי, איך אומרים, בלי למצמץ.
The main ingredient in the ink is soot. Traditional recipes also include gum arabic, the juice of a gallnut, and a single drop of honey.
יש נוסחה מאוד מאוד מדויקת איך לעשות את הדיו, ואם לא עושים את הדיו בנוסחה המדויקת הזאת, אז הדיו הזה הוא לא כשר.
Working at a steady pace, it takes Ezra Abadi a day or two to finish all the scrolls that go into a pair of tefillin, and over a year to write an entire Torah. If a scribe adds an extra letter, or misses one, or even writes one incorrectly, then the tefillin is invalid, and a simple mistake can cost him days of lost labor.
Some mistakes, under some circumstances, can be fixed, can be erased, some cannot.
It's Avraham Ben Simon's job to try and fix as much as possible. Avraham has been doing this job for 20 years. He spends about an hour checking every scroll. A computer does a final scan to ensure accuracy.
There are many laws, how to do it, how to write, how it should look. And it could be sometimes draining.
Rabbi Kaplan has run this workshop for over 15 years, and he says he's never seen a time like this.
Demand keeps growing and growing, and we try our best to produce as much as we can to supply the needs of Jews all around the world.
The completed scrolls end up in leather boxes, like the ones made at another workshop about 130 miles to the south. The leather used to come from sheep, but now...
האור הזה הוא בעצם עשוי מצוואר של פר.
Rabbi Ishai Ba'avad founded Tefillin Beit El in 1979, in a religious settlement in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Each piece starts at around 2 feet long. Craftsmen shape the compartments for the scrolls by making these bumps. They take the skin and start stretching it. These nubs will eventually be compacted into a cube just a few inches wide. They have to do it in stages, or it will break. Religious law regulates every step in the making of tefillin. One of the rules is that the single strip of leather must not get punctured.
במקרה אתם רואים פה שהתפילין האלה נפסלו. הליצה החיצונה היא התפוצצה ואנחנו רואים חור.
Shaping the compartments that will eventually hold the scrolls can take up to a year. It all depends on the artisan's techniques and the climate where he works. The leather dries faster in arid parts of Israel. Workers shave away excess leather in between trips to the hydraulic press. These four metal bars keep the empty spaces in place. They repeat this step up to 15 times, and each time, the boxes take on more precise angles. The leather needs to dry and set after each squeeze.
פשוט, אני אדפוק, ואתם תשמעו את הצליל. זה יבש. יבש, יבש.
Workers trim excess material and press it until they get a square shape. According to Jewish mysticism, the shape reflects the architecture of the Jewish temple that once stood in Jerusalem, where Al-Aqsa Mosque is today. These fully formed casings, batim in Hebrew, are 40 millimeters by 40 millimeters. The sides are embossed with the Hebrew letter Shin, an initial representing two of God's names. The letter is accentuated using a set of small scrapers. Workers bend the extra material backward, creating the bottom flap for the boxes.
היא הכנה של האור לקראת הכיפול, כדי שהוא יתקפל יפה.
To refine the angles and symmetry, craftsmen use bandsaws and sanders. This bell-shaped tool carves a notch for the leather straps. By now, the leather is as hard as wood. The bottom panel is carefully cracked open, revealing the compartments within. The four biblical passages in Tefillin outline the core beliefs of Judaism. Two commemorate the Exodus from Egypt and the obligation to educate children about it. The others hold the Shema prayer, which proclaims there's only one God. The passages are written on a single long scroll for the arm tefillin and four separate scrolls for the head. Workers tie both parts with calf's hair and sew the boxes shut with sinew from the lower leg of a cow. Once the scrolls are placed inside, they're only removed every few years to make sure the letters haven't smudged or broken. They airbrush the batim with a coat of black paint to match the color of the straps in the next step. Black absorbs all colors and doesn't reflect any back. According to tradition, this represents how God exists throughout the universe without any divisions or separations. The straps are usually 2 to 3 feet long, enough to wrap around a person's arm at least 7 times, a number that represents completeness in Judaism. According to religious law, men over the age of 13 are supposed to bind tefillin every weekday. The earliest evidence of tefillin comes from the Dead Sea Scrolls, dating as far back as the 3rd century BC. But the details of how to make and wear them are said to have been passed down orally from Moses at Mount Sinai. Other sources indicate that the practice emerged during the 2nd century BC when the Jewish Maccabees were at war with occupying Syrian Greek forces. Several empires outlawed Jewish practices, including tefillin. Later, when praying with them wasn't technically illegal, it had fallen out of popularity. For most of modern history, wearing tefillin was a practice mainly observed by the most religious Jewish sects. It took a war to change that nearly 60 years ago.
Israel Defense Forces have taken necessary steps to meet all eventualities.
In 1967, tensions between Israel, Palestinians, and surrounding Arab states were at an all-time high. A month before the Six-Day War started, the leader of the Chabad Hasidic movement in New York urged his followers to help others put on tefillin.
And a damnit is that mekuyen, as we shaftem levetar biatzichem, as even in Eretz Yisrael when sitzen dort nizichem.
He said they would provide Israel with spiritual protection. Israeli forces captured East Jerusalem in June 1967, including the walled Old City, which has sites sacred to Muslims, Christians, and Jews. This area is controlled by Israel to this day and remains a contentious flashpoint. And today's ongoing fighting with Hamas in Gaza pushed many Israeli soldiers to seek out their own prayer.
I cannot tell you how many soldiers going into Gaza said to me, I'm not going into Gaza without the tefillin. I was shocked.
Just like in 1967, rabbis and yeshiva students have increased outreach to Jews around the world who have never worn tefillin.
Jewish blood pressure, exactly.
The rabbi who ignited the tefillin revival died in 1994. But many of his followers regularly make the pilgrimage back to his synagogue in New York City.
I serve in Ukraine, and coming here for the few days to be with my colleagues, with the Rebbe, gives me energy for the whole year.
Over 5,000 rabbis from the Chabad Lubavitch movement gather each year in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, for an international conference of shluchim, the Hebrew word for emissaries, including Rabbi Kaplan, who oversees the scribes' workshop in Safed. He said that these rabbis from around the world are his biggest customers. Rabbi Avraham Rappaport lives in New Jersey. He makes TikTok and Instagram posts about Judaism.
I feel like there's a renaissance, there's an awakening of this Jewish soul. You can be in America and protect and bring a blessing to a Jew on the other side of the world. So tefillin's a good way to start.
A 2023 survey of these rabbis, representing thousands of international Jews, found that almost every single one of their congregations had witnessed an increase in traditional observance since October 7th.
Yesterday, I picked up 6 pairs of tefillin, new pairs of tefillin for people who have committed to put on tefillin every day.
There's no official count, but several organizations estimate that tens of thousands of new pairs of tefillin have been distributed all over the world in the past few months.
By the way, this is a pair of tefillin ordered yesterday on the way to Manhattan, New York, being shipped now.
At the same time, scribes across Israel have been called up for military duty, and others have found it hard to stay focused.
I had a couple of scribes who couldn't write after the attack on Simchat Torah. They couldn't come to work, or they came and said, I'm sorry, Rabbi Kaplan, I can't write. My head is somewhere else, and I'm making mistakes. It's just wasting my time.
So there's a growing backlog, even as the orders are rolling in. A pair of tefillin can cost from $450 to over $2,500. But as scribes do their jobs, Rabbi Kaplan has lost an important source of income, tourism.
People come here for the good breathe and for the spiritual air that there is here.
This hilltop city is one of the four holiest cities in Judaism. It has undergone much change over the centuries, amid war and population shifts. It's now almost completely Jewish, after its Palestinian population fled or were driven from their homes in the 1948 war. And once again, the shadow of war has fallen over the city the last few months, as the fear of rockets from Lebanon has left the streets empty.
This is usually full of tourists. Look, it's locked. It's empty. There's nothing here, nothing happening.
The visitor center attached to Rabbi Kaplan's workshop is also empty.
This center was a vibrant visitor center. And since October 7th, we had no visitors.
But it's filled with reminders that Jews have kept their faith in tough times before.
These are really tiny, tiny old set of tefillin, which people say they were able to actually hide and use during challenging times. If it's during the Holocaust or communist Soviet Russia, they were able to hide them in their pockets and use them every day.
Rabbi Kaplan believes that struggles push believers to search for meaning in life.
People are seeking and searching for some connection to something greater, bigger than what we just see around us, which is so shaky.
He says that the practice of tefillin is a statement of faith in God, but that it's people who have the power to make things better.
This is a reminder we have through our command of tefillin, and this is a reminder which belongs to every human being.